Ladies and gentlemen, it's another episode of the Nerdcast. We're here for Season 4, Episode 7.
We really need to start paying attention.
We have a full room here today. Joining me is, in no particular order except alphabetical, Adam.
The best order.
Yeah, hi. That's why Hello. You think it's the best order, because you're first.
We could do it by last name if you'd rather.
Adam Adair. Bob.
Hello.
Aaron.
That's me.
Laura, who's not mic'd up.
But she will be.
She's waving.
She's stuffing cake in her mouth.
She is eating cake. We're all a little
stuffing
bit jealous.
We're all giving her the stink eye.
Which Laura, of course, we established in episode one, is the better version of Tyler, who is here with us.
I mean, Laura and I had words about that.
I want to see a fight.
And it made it very clear that is not true.
Not true. And myself, Iggy. So we have a full room, not enough mics. So hopefully awkward silence between Aaron and Laura trying to communicate off the microphone won't happen too many times this evening. But
over under. I got over under on 4. That's the
four
why aren't they talking?
No, just number of times it happens.
Laura and Aaron frantically waving their hands at each other.
All right, now communicating via chocolate cake. So we were just talking before we got started here. News post going up on Tuesday. It is, of course, we are recording on Monday night.
Typically,
this means, hey, we're going to talk about what happened last week, then share this on this Friday.
Right, it's like last week with Project Nerd.
It works, though. Yeah, people like it.
Yeah.
But we get to talk about this week, just because what we were talking about beforehand, Monday was just filled to the brim with exciting news.
Lots of news, folks.
Exciting news. Okay, so I'm going to let us go there, but I'm limiting our time on this topic, Tyler and Adam, to...
We're on the same page.
There's 5 minutes.
There's not going
to
be
I do want to say before we get there...
He has his clock out.
Project Nerd does not endorse any political parties, especially Stupid Party A and Stupid Party B, which are also known as the two main ones. You can pick which one's Stupid Party A and which one's Stupid Party B. But we do want to talk about Obama encouraging
the
FCC.
I feel like that was endorsing no parties.
Yeah, we don't endorse any
parties. We're apolitical here.
Well, that's what he said.
We're obviously not apolitical. We're just not, Iggy's obviously just not on either side, camp A or camp B.
We're just anti-stupidity.
Definitely not apolitical.
So, neutrality.
Net
thank you.
Neutrality. Use your words.
I'm stumbling over them. We got 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
All right. So, the first thing, before we get into it further, too, I do want to point out that it has become a dirty word. Nobody really knows what to think about it. And I don't... I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The average internet consumer... doesn't understand it.
Better.
I can barely say it.
Because your big companies want you to believe one way, and of course there is that
the
taste right now that you don't want. Exactly. And there is the big foul taste in your mouth, the argument that is going on between Dumb Party A and Dumb Party B, that the fight for more control or less control over the government, which this obviously comes, that factor comes into play here, considering the FCC. But Obama did encourage the FCC to go with the toughest regulations they could on it. That was quote.
Basically the gist of it is he wants to classify it as a Title II utility.
And
right.
Explain that.
To basically making something a Title II utility basically means that it is vital for the everyday life of an average human, which means that they have a right to access to it without any sort of regulations put on it by an outside party.
And
it puts it in the same
terms,
category as like electricity and water and gas and telephone service.
Exactly. So in layman's terms, it would turn internet into telephone service regulations, which is a good thing in, I think, all of our opinions
people,
here.
Title II of the Telecommunications Act, under this section, it's illegal to, quote, make any unjust or unreasonable discrimination in charges, practices, classifications, regulations, facilities, or services.
So... even though Project Nerd is not for any political party, we are for this. Because basically what it's saying is that for all of those people that have been complaining about the news of now almost all the carriers now of some sort of extent slowing down your internet speeds by downloading too much or accessing Netflix too much or anything like that, it would basically say that is no longer appropriate. You can no longer do that type of stuff.
It's I mean, that's going to get, that's questionable because they're still going to be, even as a,
they're still going to do,
well, you're saying
want.
On your end. So on the, you, on the end user end, there's still going to be abilities because it's just like your electricity. Like they can, if you use this much electricity, you pay for that amount of electricity.
Yeah, right.
So they still have control over you charging with the tissue is on the other end. Like the carriers, the people who are the content producers, like they can't force Netflix to pay more to speed up their traffic or make ProjectNerd.com pay more so that our site loads faster kind of thing. You can't, you know, give preferential treatment to some traffic and not other traffic, which is the big issue.
Right, and that gets back to the idea of the internet. It was created so that anything that was out there was out there. It was a way to share ideas, and it was a way to say that all ideas have the same merit, and obviously, or deserve the same ability to be out there. Maybe they don't have the same merit, but they have the same.
They don't all have the same.
They have the same right to be out there,
but they do have the same right. Yeah.
The issue, the issue we run into, and one of the main reasons it's become contentious, especially with big companies, is infrastructure and regulation and legislation didn't keep up with the growth of the internet. Because when he's talking about the creation of the internet, everything was text based, small images, very small. The amount of data was infinitesimal versus like going over phone lines and stuff like that. Now in the age of Netflix, where at certain times of day, Netflix accounts for somewhere in the neighborhood of like 70% of all bandwidth used in the United States from between the times of like, I don't remember the numbers, and they've gone down since Netflix hit its like peak, but that's a lot of data. And the telecommunications like infrastructure, like our infrastructure when it comes to high speed internet and availability, compared to any other country, we're like
the equivalent
of a third world country when it comes to internet speeds and internet bandwidth availability and stuff like that, and then the amount we pay for it. And now all of a sudden, the telecom companies, as opposed to you know upgrading infrastructure, doing stuff like that, they're just like, well, you know what? From now on, if you want it the way it was before, you just pay more.
Well, now the Netflix lawsuit with Comcast is done.
Right.
Netflix won. There, then we have this coming up. So I think some good signs. The other thing, too, that is often not considered, you talk about that, the data usage, things like that. In terms of bandwidth, the government, the FCC, has a controlling, like, what is it, 60 to 70% of the available bandwidth we have out there is held off for federal and confidential, all that kind of stuff we're not allowed to. So there's a lot of bandwidth that could be opened up that could make everything easier and happier. Well,
there's
that goes
a difference
into a whole
between that bandwidth being opened up and then the infrastructure to, like, that bandwidth exists, but I can't pipe it into your house tomorrow. Like, the infrastructure doesn't exist for me to give you access to that.
They're
working on it, right.
We can get you from here to that stuff, and then that end of it will be. But the bottleneck is still, like, that pipe that runs from your house to, like, the big backbone.
No, we have a lot of work to do with it, but the point is there's room to work.
Yeah.
There's
well,
not
I'm just
a
saying
reason.
Opening up all that bandwidth that you're talking about that the government would make your internet faster today. It would make your internet faster 5 years from now.
No.
Until your local telecommunication provider is, like Cox or Verizon or Comcast, goes and invests the money in the infrastructure to get that bandwidth to a point where it's accessible to you.
So I think the overall understanding here is that none of us have a problem with it. The question is, I think the reason that the negative connotation is with it is because it does lead to the government making a decision. But like Adam, I think Adam was in the middle of saying before we cut off, is it doesn't make it a political thing. However, people want to make it a political thing because it helps you side with
anytime you throw out that word regulation, people get afraid. What the regulation is going to do is prevent companies from completely destroying your everyday access to the internet and the things that you want, or they'll make you pay more for it.
Well, the difference is we've reached
price people out.
We've reached a point now where to function in everyday society, internet's become a necessity.
It has.
It's not like cable or something like that where you can do without it. You could there's companies you can't. I mean, the company I work for, you can't apply for a job without getting on the internet. Like, we don't accept paper applications. It's all online, stuff like that. There are any number of things that you can't do that you need the internet for today, and it's reached that level of, like, that's why they want to classify it basically as a utility, or at least what the president came out and said was he would like the FCC to look into classifying it as utility. And the big thing that he did this is he waited till after the midterms. He's trying to get out ahead of the FCC because the FCC's already announced that they're going to announce new regulations on the internet probably early next year. And his is just him getting out ahead of it, trying to push them in a different direction. And it's trippy because the no one really knows where the FCC is going to fall. The FCC chairman has even declined to like to participate in any open forums about it. And the FCC chairman, it looks like his stance may be changing a little bit, but he is definitely of people who are very pro, I guess, net neutrality or anti telecom companies, stuff like that, are very anti him. Tom Wheeler, I believe is his name, because his job before being FCC chairman was being the head of like the largest telecommunications lobbying company like in the world. And then he became head of the FCC. So his loyalties are definitely brought into question more often than not, but it's going to be a long time before this is resolved. Verizon came out with a statement right after the president's speech, basically saying that, it was, I mean, I have it somewhere, but basically it was very threatening to, you know, this and that. And there was going to be legal challenges if any of this went through.
Well, then they may just have to start paying taxes since they pay negative in taxes each year. But anyways, I think the biggest takeaway here that we can share is for you to do your own research on it. Look it up. See what it means. See what all this is going on, because it's not a bad word. Like you said, the anytime regulation is thrown around right now, it's being leveraged as political. For instance, there was midterm elections, things like that. So definitely check it out for yourself. Form your own opinion. That's what we can say about anything. But
please,
definitely this right now. I can tell you, for one, I don't want Verizon being able to triple their, you know, tell Netflix they have to pay them so much money in order for their customers to get that product on the service. Because one thing that happens is companies are starting able to do that. Then Netflix either has to quit using them and you no longer have access to that, or they have to start charging their customers more to make up the money they're paying for that.
But so, definitely do your research, because
for sure
the different sides have been doing their hardest to frame themselves as
the victims.
We're doing
well,
what's best,
I mean,
for you.
What's it like? Okay, Verizon statement they came out with included the line that blah, 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 blah. Would in and of itself
blah, 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 blah.
Threaten great harm. Well, I can read the whole statement if you
no,
want. It's pretty
no.
interesting.
I was trying to wrap us up, actually.
I'm sorry. Would be a radical reversal of the course that would in and of itself threaten great harm to an open internet, competition, and innovation.
Yeah, well, maybe start paying some taxes for it. But anyways. all right, so we have gone over our time, but there was also an interruption there, so I'll let it slide. What I do want to talk about, what I was excited about, is at the end of last week, a big thing came out is Jared Leto was rumored tied to be to playing the Joker in DC's new Suicide Squad movie. Internet went crazy about it. Oh,
why not?
Why not? The other side is, well, the Joker's not in the Suicide Squad, obviously.
The other side was DC is making a movie. Really?
No, shut up. No, these
anyways,
will just be rumors, and we'll think about how awesome they could be.
Plenty of buzz about it. But a very popular story, and actually the most recent animated movie that featured the Suicide Squad, it featured the story where the Suicide Squad has to break into Arkham, and Harley Quinn does come face to face with her clown prince. And I think he'd be fantastic as it. What's been added to it, the pudding on the cake, as we might say.
I see what you did there.
It was Margot Robbie, most recently known for her role as the blonde wife of a bombshell Wolf of Wall Street.
Only known for her role in the Wolf of Wall Street.
Her personality in that movie really, really lends well to the rumors, and then now the confirmation that she is playing Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad movie. So one, when Suicide Squad was first announced, where was Harley Quinn? There wasn't a lot of talk about it, so there was some worry of, is this the Suicide Squad stories without her? Because is DC really going to do that? Because are you really going to risk not having her in the movie with all these other... Because basically what they are is mostly sidekick or B-list villains that formed a team.
Yeah, well, and versions, which version they go with, because there's been like three different iterations.
Well, you
got to
have, but
Squad.
I mean, that's where you got to have Harley Quinn. You've got to have Deadshot. You've got to have those names that are going to be popular enough.
Honestly, as long as it has Amanda Waller in it, like they find a reason to put Amanda Waller in there.
They've got to.
You say that, but I don't know. As long as they find an excuse to have Amanda Waller there, you know, I mean,
please,
you can build whatever.
I mean, and you could really tie that in, because Amanda Waller then could have a place in the Superman versus Batman Dawn of Justice movie. So
everybody else has a place in that movie.
It seems that
apparently.
Way. So I don't know. I'm excited for the announcement. The Silent Couch. Any thoughts on Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn or Jared Leto as the Joker.
That's hot.
Okay.
I think Paris Hilton just joined us. That's hot.
Thank you for that. We really appreciate that feedback.
I'm real excited about Jared
Leto.
It's
true.
It's going to
be really awesome.
I mean, I think he's capable of playing. Yeah, I think I'm pretty excited about Jared Leto.
Okay.
I'm curious, because I think I have a feeling, because, like, I mean, Suicide Squad, the comic book, like, just relaunched this year. Like, they just brought it back with a new roster. Maybe that's the reason, like, they're talking about this. Because the new one is, like, you get your Harley Quinn, you get your Deadshot in it, and then the new one also has Deathstroke in it, which is a big one. He's huge.
Well, there's the big push for it right now because in the new Batman video game, they're going to be a significant player, that team.
What's his name? Black Manta and Joker's daughter.
Black Manta.
I mean, that's the new Suicide Squad now. Yeah. So, Deathstroke is really hot right now. You know,
Deathstroke.
With Arrow going
I'm fine
on,
with
so hot right now.
I'm
so
fine with right Deathstroke. I think Deadshot is a good character.
I will
that
be
can
upset
really
that
build
if
on.
Both of those were big in Arkham Origins and are going to be in Arkham Knight. So, mm-hmm.
I will be upset if Deathstroke shows up in a Deathstroke as he should be shows up in a movie before Deadpool shows up in a movie as he should be.
Well. Yeah.
Wait,
I
mean, you mean
you don't
want Slade Wilson to show up before Wade Wilson?
That's not basically what I'm saying.
I'd say prepare to be upset, but again, this DC movie may never get made. Who knows?
I mean,
I don't know. When's the Deadpool movie dropping? They announced a date. Fox did.
Was it 2016?
Yeah. They announced like a tentative, possibly.
No,
maybe,
it was a winter of 16. Because then the Suicide Squad's not until 2017.
Did they
so
announce
might
that
have
before
your...
Marvel announced every weekend for the next like 12 years, or after?
That was before. It was when they. When that test footage kind of snuck out, and then everybody went bananas about it, and then they're like,
they still
"Oh, by the way, we're going to do that."
They still don't know who's
we're
directing it. They still don't know who's going to star.
I see what you did there.
It is in pre production.
No, that song's in there. That's right. I forgot, dude.
It's in super pre production. So.
Pre. Well,
and whatever weekend they picked for it, Marvel announced their movie, so they'll have to move it. So.
So that's what every other studio has to move it. The Marvel was like,
DC was like, yeah, we're not going to blink, man.
We
like,
take all 12 weekends, May
back
through
like
July. Well, they'll delay it again further. So. Okay, I was very excited about these cast announcements, but
it's excited. But like we've talked about this on the podcast 50 times. Like DC's got to show us something before we can actually invest in what they're doing.
They're showing us something. They're casting people.
No, that's not showing us something. Showing us something would make a movie.
That's a step further than saying here's 9 dates with movies we aren't announcing yet.
We cast Ben Affleck and. We have our Superman and our Batman.
Ben Affleck has now done a featurette about bats being an endangered species that's tied to the Batman versus Superman movie.
Okay.
That's a big deal, dude.
Let me know when that movie comes out. And let me know if it's any good.
And they cast probably, in my opinion, one of the worst decisions for Robin, Jenna Malone. Why do people think she's a good actress?
I like Jenna Malone.
In what?
I don't know. Like
she's terrible.
Sucker Punch.
No, she's the worst part of Sucker Punch. She's the worst part of Catching Fire.
She's in that
movie? I don't know if she's the worst part of Catching Fire. That's a bold statement.
Oh, she's far worse than Josh Hutchinson.
Okay, now you're just saying.
Not by much.
She does fine.
Not by much.
Jenna,
and she fits
she
the character.
She overacts
like
everything.
Actually the
okay,
character.
Over
the
top,
that
character is
the
one
way.
Big
like
overactive.
Robin.
In the book, that character is
like Robin.
She's actually probably underplaying
Robin will be
it more than anything.
Pushed to the fore,
I don't
the
know who's saying what right now, but... What? Okay.
Now I feel to look. I feel like I'm obligated to look up something that Jenna Malone was in that I enjoyed.
Was it like
wasn't she like Now and Then or something like a long time ago or
some what was the one with Julia Roberts that
taught Saved.
The college?
That's the one that I always
liked.
She
sucked in that too.
You're so negative.
Why do you hate Jenna Malone so much? What is your problem?
Because she's terrible.
She's not.
I don't know who this person is.
Jenna Malone.
I gotta tell you guys.
She's
honestly,
really good as
the
young Jodie Foster
podcast,
in Contact.
I've had zero idea what you guys are talking about.
Everybody's,
no clue.
Everybody's good in Contact, though.
No idea.
Jenna
Suicide
Malone.
Squad, like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about right now. That's why I haven't said anything, because I have no idea what y'all are talking
The one
about.
Movie that he got on board with, of course, was the one with
Matthew
McConaughey.
Yeah, of course.
So?
Obvi.
So?
Obvi.
Whatever. I still haven't seen Interstellar yet. I don't know. I don't know. I think of the recent cast announcements, since that's the only thing DC is doing right now.
Oh, yeah, I know
okay.
who she is. She's great.
She did all right in Donnie Darko.
Pride and Prejudice? She's actually pretty good in Pride and Prejudice.
Yep.
No, I don't like her. I just said she did all right in Donnie Darko. She didn't really have much to do in there, though.
She was really good in Saved. I'm actually, that's the one I'm upset about. I'm kind of offended by that. She's like the main character in Saved. She's really good.
Saved was an overrated movie.
It's pretty
underrated, which still makes it overrated, to be honest. It was kind of a bad movie.
I don't understand where
she
are anymore.
So
we're complaining about Jenna Malone.
You're overrated, underrated.
I will get us all back.
She was the daughter and stepmom.
I will get us all back into one excited group, though, when I say the other big news that came out today was Starz announcing the return of Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell to the Evil Dead franchise.
Hooray!
With a 10-episode miniseries of Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yes.
So?
Enough said.
That's exciting.
On board.
Are you excited for that, Tyler? Or is that just announcements that you don't know to get on the wagon yet?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
This is something that I finally understand what we're talking about.
Laura's finally on the same page.
We have something. Adam and I have something relevant to share about the Evil Dead. We recently shared it with someone, and they really hated it.
Which one?
Ooh.
Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2, obviously.
I mean, that's a rough entry place.
Yeah, you're bringing them in out of nowhere. I think you go with Army of Darkness.
You gotta go with one.
No. Really?
Yeah,
because
one is still
Evil
a little
Dead
bit real. Like, it's
thing.
Still, like, a little bit, like, not quite on the nose as much.
This could be
because two goes.
This could be a legitimate horror
two,
movie.
One can actually pass as, like, maybe it's a horror movie, but it's kind of playing up some tropes. Number two is on
it's
a whole
just
other
so
level.
So off the wall, yeah.
Is the person you showed to, like, a huge horror movie fan, too?
Yep.
Who? Yeah. Who was it?
Because then that's...
Whitney.
Well, she doesn't count.
That's the thing about number two is like so much of the gore and the humor and the over the topness of number two hinges entirely on number one, you having seen the first one, and number two, understanding like what's being like.
I don't know. I disagree with that.
You're dropped in right
Evil
after.
I saw Evil Dead 2 first.
You dropped in
Evil
right
Dead
after
1.
The first one. I mean, you're dropped right in. I don't know. It's the same movie.
I agree with Adam.
I think it's completely redundant.
Evil Dead 2 and Evil Dead 2 are the same movie.
It's exactly the same movie,
only with
like the over-the-topness turned up to 11.
Right, right. You're a little
and
more
campy. And the budget turned up to $50 from $25.
What do you mean over-the-topness? First of all, him chopping off his hand and it running around and flipping him off is not over-the-top, Tyler.
The first one kind of takes some horror tropes and plays with them a little bit. Number two, like, takes him out back and bashes him over the head with a baseball bat. Like, it's a whole
other... What's Sam Raimi's brother who's controlling the puppet?
Ted Raimi.
He comes up with the puppets.
Oh, I love Ted Raimi.
Some good...
He's so funny.
I mean, he's on the level of Frank Oz in that movie, I tell you what, with that puppet work.
Every time I see Ted Raimi, all I can think of, though, is a Sequest DSP.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Totally on board.
I'm excited for it. I think, to be honest, of those three, Army of Darkness is my favorite.
I want a Darkman reboot.
Yeah, I think Army of Darkness is my favorite.
Darkman?
I want a Darkman reboot.
Yeah. Liam Neeson?
He can still be him, too. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Let's just redo it with him.
Well, now he's
give Sam Raimi some
now,
money.
Now he's
an
actually action star
as opposed to before. Is he going
to
say... I don't know who you are. I will find you.
I could see Tom Hardy
as a superhero.
Man.
I don't know. Tom Hardy's going to be Apocalypse now, so possibly. And he's already been Bane. Are we going to make him Darkman also?
Well,
why not?
I mean, it is Tom Hardy, so
I guess.
Chris Evans has been in, what did we count? Nine or ten?
Ryan Reynolds has been quite a few different superheroes now.
He's only been two, right?
Well, he's been in a lot of movies there. He was sort of like a superhero. He's been in three comic book movies at least.
Yeah, but Chris Evans is 10. Chris Evans is the Human Torch and Captain America in the same universe.
Well, technically, they didn't own the rights to Fantastic Four.
There's a difference in it, but in the same, it's the same Marvel.
When is that new Fantastic Four?
Did y'all see that?
Didn't they cancel that?
No, it's done. It's already in post-production.
The movie's done. Like, they wrapped it next summer.
You want to know what the biggest news is, too? Another bit of news that we haven't gotten to yet today. The announcement at Dr. Doom, that's like not even his name has been changed. His origin story has been changed for this movie.
Like, you could say whatever you want about, like, people getting mad about them changing Dr. Doom's origin story's name. Sue Storm and Johnny Storm. One of them is white and one of them is
black.
Yeah,
I know, and they're siblings.
They're adopted. It's okay.
Are they still siblings, though?
I'm watching the last...
She's the one who's adopted, I think, in that.
I'm watching the last season of How I Met Your Mother right now, and Wayne Brady... and Neil Patrick Harris play siblings. I mean, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on their phone, so I don't know if anybody else watches How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, you guys have transitioned to another topic that I know absolutely nothing about. And apparently neither does Google. Oh, no. Please. I don't know anything about this Dr. Doom movie, and none of my first hits on Google were anything.
Dr. Doom? The movie's Seriously?
Fantastic
what
Four.
Google are you using?
The regular Google.
No, she's got the crazy Verizon Google. It's not real Google because they're blocking access to it.
Okay, net neutrality though. Yeah. So
I guess censored Google.
Sorry, you can't find Marvel stuff. No, Marvel is teaming up with Verizon on that to make sure you can't find anything Fantastic Four.
Right, no Fantastic Four.
There you go. Figured it out. Okay, so where were we? We were excited about The Evil Dead.
Evil Dead.
And
still excited
upset that Whitney is not a fan of it.
Yeah,
okay.
It really fell flat with her, but whatever.
So staying
just
on,
just so are Army of Darkness. No one can dislike Army.
No,
of Darkness.
That's
so
said.
Good.
That was my suggestion to start there too. So
you
I
can't
think
start there.
You can
you
start
can't
with
start
Army
there.
Of Darkness.
No,
she's right. He's right. You can't start there.
Why can't
I
you?
I still think
there?
You have to start with one. I don't think two really works until you've seen.
But
the first
two is so much the better movie.
This
is true, but it's only better because of what it
is. It better or is it the more fun? Type better.
Oh, it's definitely
better.
Oh, it's
most definitely
okay, better. It's for sure
so.
Better.
I guess so.
I just don't think it works on the uninitiated if they haven't seen the first one.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Make her sit down and watch all three.
Yeah.
She Ooh. Will not do it anymore.
No.
Well,
nope.
We have a
nope.
higher priority. She hasn't seen Star Wars or The Godfather.
What?
I was going to say, when you said, so hold on, you said we have a higher priority. I'm like, what's a higher priority and she hasn't seen? And then you got
Star Wars
and The Godfather. And I was like, oh my goodness, not a higher priority. That's
so
like,
honestly,
priority.
Like the fact that this person hasn't seen those movies means that their opinion on The Evil Dead is
nothing.
Her argument is invalid.
Can I bring us back around full circles? And when she told me who this person was, I go, doesn't matter because see.
Yeah,
valid now. Valid.
Well, but she really
my statement
loves, she geeks out about horror films. So it's relevant. I mean, we watch a lot of horror films
How
together.
Many horror films has she seen?
What's
she
her favorite
Star Wars
Let's do that. What's her favorite horror film?
I don't know.
Can't speak for this person.
Yeah, I can't speak for her.
No, you know, Laura, we're going to let you speak for her. Whitney gave you permission to speak for her on this episode.
All right,
she told
her
that.
I heard it.
Well, I know in terms of recent horror films, we all really enjoyed Sinister.
Okay.
Like, really enjoyed it.
Did she?
And when you say she loves horror movies, do you mean like she loves horror movies like she loves Final Destination? I Know What You Did Last Summer.
No,
or loves horror movies like,
no, like
The Omen
ones.
And Poltergeist?
Like good
and,
ones.
Yeah,
Final,
like Hostel.
Is Final Destination I Know What You Did Last Summer like the 10th sequel in both of those series?
Do
they combine?
They converge.
They combine.
Dude,
them?
I think the Final Destination finally found its stride at number 5. Like that's
what?
Where they
Are
really
you serious?
Got it to. I don't know. I have seen half of one of them.
Did
maybe.
It make it to 5?
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
like
yeah,
like
yeah.
7 or something
yeah.
like that.
And aren't they, they're relaunching I Know What You Did Last Summer, aren't they? Or is it relaunching or doing a third?
I heard
or,
they're relaunching. I heard reboot.
Yeah.
Is it
it's
reboot?
A reboot.
Okay.
A reboot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that needs a reboot.
Can we
I'll
reboot
watch it.
Good movies?
You probably
I'll
would.
Watch it, yeah.
I mean, is just, is
no,
Jennifer Love Hewitt in again?
Actually, yeah.
What
Tyler,
up?
Tyler's
and
there.
Sarah Michelle
oh, my
Gellar.
God.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar, exactly.
No, actually, you know what? You bring that point up. Can we reboot good movies? Actually, this is great. Stick to rebooting this crap and leave our good franchises
yeah,
alone. No, this is fantastic.
Yep.
Actually, I'm okay with
but
this.
But you know
now.
They're going to reboot that movie and it's going to be rated PG-13
or PG-12.
Yeah, that too.
they just keep making it a little less and less each time. It seems like.
Yeah. So we got to get that extra. We got to get those.
Sorry,
kids
it was
in
a really bad joke.
That was
sorry,
a really
guys.
Bad.
Well,
joke.
The thing is a PG-13. You can get away with a lot of gore.
Now,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
No boobs.
No boobs.
Yeah.
And only
keep them boobs out.
And only one F-bomb.
You get one F.
Oh, then I'm definitely not going. If it's PG-13, I'm not going.
And it has to be
you
done
still get
as,
the gore.
Has,
I want,
can't
nope,
be talking
I
want
about
boobs
and
F-bombs.
Nope. Can
I
have
I
the
boobs
and
F-bombs.
If I promise to, like, mutilate them?
Yeah,
I do believe.
Is that how that works?
As long as they're fake, or in the case of Total Recall, you can show three boobs on one person and still get a PG-13 rating.
Yeah.
True.
If we cover up the nipple and promise to stab her like between the breasts, can I show the boobs?
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna let you do
Scary
that.
Scary Movie says hello.
Scary Movie says hello. Did they do that in Scary Movie?
Yeah, they stab her right in the boob and pull out a
oh that's
implant.
Right
yeah.
Implant.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
but
it,
that's
movie.
Rated R though, isn't it?
So
yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm pretty
was.
Sure
there's a lot
rated
of
R.
That one
yeah.
was R.
There, a lot of language, a lot of language. So how many did Scary Movie make it to also? Didn't they make it to like 6
five.
Or 7? It
seemed
I gave
five.
Up.
I've seen book movies on the shelf sometime with numbers next to them, and I'm shocked. I didn't remember they made the last 4, let alone 6 and 7.
Well, they're on. I mean, what, they're filming.
Well, what number are they on and like, what's that one? Paranormal Activity. Aren't they on like four or five now already?
They've done four.
They did four. Then they did the marked ones, and I heard they're making another one.
I'm pretty sure they've got a 73 movie plan with that one. Yeah. Isn't Samuel L. Jackson on for Nick Fury in 73 of those movies?
I will watch every single one of them. All of them. In the theater, twice.
So the camera's set up in the bedroom, and Nick Fury comes walking through the door.
It's just the way I talk.
It's just the way.
Haven't you seen my movies?
I think we have a new YouTube idea here, guys. We could totally set that up. Yeah.
Done. Sick of these motherfucking ghosts in the motherfucking house.
Paranormal Activity on a plane. Oh, okay. We have a whole new YouTube series, trademark pending. So, and by pending, we mean please don't steal our idea. All right, I don't even know what happened here in the last 15 minutes of our episode.
We were talking about things that we were excited about.
Bruce Campbell.
Off track.
And we got excited.
If we get,
these things happen.
We get that excited about Bruce Campbell that we lost our shit for like 15
Super
minutes.
Super excited.
It's totally acceptable, by the way, because it is Bruce Campbell.
Yep.
He's amazing.
Not to mention the Evil Dead Bruce Campbell.
Not to mention Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Obviously. Okay. So other news is in the comic realm still, and... Was it WWE? He was WWE superstar. CM Punk is now Marvel's writer for Thor Annual Number 1. That's right, the wrestling sensation. We all know a CM Punk, or at least we were all introduced to just about 5 minutes ago.
CM Punk's a big deal. Maybe not in our circle.
People know him.
He's kind of a big deal.
I know. I'm saying for this group right here, But he's going to be writing a comic book now.
That's okay. He deals with fantasy anyway.
I'll tell you what. I've heard some interviews with the guy. He's done, like, the Nerdist, WTF, stuff like that. He is a really bright guy and a giant nerd. Like, he's definitely...
He's a super, super big comic geek is what all the stories have said. He's been a comic geek for... And he's been in talks with a lot of Marvel high-ups for many years. Like, in friendships, conversations about ideas and stuff like that. And if I read the articles correctly, it sounded like even he had pitched something like, well, if I did a Thor story, I would do something like this many moons ago. And Marvel actually came back to him and said, hey, you want to do this? I guess the best thing to say this is what Tyler says every time we bring up Marvel now is, well, they got to do something wrong before we can't give them a chance on this. So if they've been doing everything right, might as well check it out to see what's going on with that.
No matter what he writes, I can guarantee you there have been writers who have written big titles for Marvel who were worse.
I'm just saying,
comic book writers.
Throw somebody's name on the ground, on the Nerdcast.
Nah, I'm not going to do that.
I know.
I'll make fun of artists, if you want to do that.
No.
We can make fun of Rob Liefeld.
What? Art is hard. Who?
Rob Liefeld.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
He's like the internet's favorite artist whipping boy. His inability to draw feet or legs or really anything.
I guess I don't study his character's feet.
There's entire like galleries of like Rob Liefeld's worst things ever. And like they'll like rank like things he's drawn. I mean, if you ever go into it, it gets pretty entertaining.
I'll have to check it out. Sorry, Rob.
But I mean, yeah, I like it. I mean, he's written some really cool stuff, but yeah, it's pretty fun. Can't draw feet. He likes pockets on things.
I can't draw feet.
I'm not saying feet are hard, so are hands.
Dude, I like pockets, too. I hate it when I put on my pajama pants and I can't put my phone in my pocket.
I feel I'm really upset that this is, like, an internet thing you haven't seen, because, like, we'll definitely have to look at this.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll have to watch it when we watch the Season 4 premiere of Epic Rap Battles that we were discussing earlier.
I tell you what, something I'm excited about we didn't touch on,
because we still have 40 minutes left of this episode.
HBO's in talks, or basically has made a deal in whatever with Jonathan Nolan, who is Christopher Nolan's brother, who's been the co-writer on a lot of their things. Like Interstellar, stuff like that, to adapt the Foundation series by Isaac Asimov into a television property for HBO, which I'm super excited about.
It'll be on the back burner for the next 30 years
with
Dark Tower.
We'll see. you know, the Nolans get stuff done. That's what I'm saying.
That's
they
true.
Do.
That's true.
I mean,
and if it's not
fair,
getting done there, they'll go
not,
somewhere else and get
not
it done
the
there.
Other, this is not the this true. Is not the only property.
I don't know. HBO is in pretty good. What Warner Brother has a stake in HBO, yeah. So I don't think that Nolan Brothers going anywhere else.
They'll just take them with them.
That's okay. Yeah.
HBO.
Right, you guys aren't going to do
HBO
this.
HBO will have to give up some of their right. Their property.
We'll leave your name on
HBO. I thought it was all Time Warner owned the whole thing.
Well, my point is, it's all part of the same parent company.
Okay.
So,
HBO, I mean, this is the umpteenth, you know, book thing that HBO's bought with the intent of, or have gotten the rights to with the intent to develop, whether it be, you know, Dark Tower, American Gods, but the only one we've really ever seen come to fruition, obviously, Game of Thrones. Which
secure
is
those
them,
rights. So the success of Game of Thrones.
As much one. Money as...
Secure those rights. Game of Thrones
imaginable.
Is taking
well,
off.
Well, the other thing
doing
is...
Good.
Is
well, and
don't...
then all the other ones, stars and stuff, are picking up other things that, you know, they're like, well, Game similar. Of Thrones is huge. Let's do...
Ash
you know,
versus
Out-
the Evil Dead.
I was going to say Outlander. Which one is that one? Was
right.
That Showtime or
yeah.
Stars?
Yeah. Stars.
Well, but HBO's being smart. You don't... Why would you put out another, you know, something similar in the same realm? The folks who are going to watch it that are already tuning in to watch Game of Thrones.
Why, you can't watch two shows?
You can.
Well, say, why make another hard fantasy when we can go make a sweet sci-fi?
You right. Know? Well, you let Game of Thrones run its course, and then you bring on another one, and you keep them engaged for another 4 or 5 years after Game of Thrones is done.
I feel what you're cooking. Smell what you're cooking.
And Game of Thrones, I mean, not that it was a foregone conclusion, but HBO did it. Finally announced the 7th season of Game of Thrones, which is apparently going to probably be the last one. So,
see what George R. R. Martin says about that.
Well, regardless of what he does, he has the number of books he's going to do, but HBO has always been pretty adamant that 7 seasons is what it's going to do, because after 3 or 4, you re-up the contracts, and then for 3 more years, and then after 7, the ability to keep that ensemble cast together for more than 7 years
oh, no.
is impossible.
Well, they don't have to. That's Very the thing. Tough. They don't have to keep that cast together, because they just keep killing them off anyways. I mean, it's Game of Thrones, guys.
Everyone's dead, but you're paying Peter Dinklage $1 billion
to wander around Westeros.
People would watch that.
Peter Dinklage is getting paid $1 billion an episode because he's been the only one who's managed to survive through every season.
That would make me super happy. He's my favorite character anyway. Kill everybody else.
So in this season, we see dragons flying around and Peter Dinklage walking across Westeros. I would be interested in the commentary track on
I
that
feel like
episode,
Daenerys though. Has got to make it to almost the end, though, too.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be fine.
Well, I don't know if she's going to be fine.
I feel like she's going to be the fine. Champion. She's going to be the WWE champion. She's going
to
dethrone
her path
CM Punk.
Her path is very clearly, you know, on its way to ruin, but she's going to take a while. I think she makes it to the end. I think Tyrion makes it to the end. I think she makes it to the end.
Her path onto ruin based is where we are in the TV show or where you are in the books?
What's that?
You're talking about her path. Are you alluding to something at where you are in the books or in the television show?
Both.
We're getting pretty close to those.
I'm saying in the
up.
Sense that like it's like if you take I mean granted George
well, no,
R. Martin's
in the show,
known for
she's
turning,
starting to
turning its tropes on its head, but it's very clear that she's in over her head and is making some decisions.
Yeah, in the show it's starting
not,
to show
it's not
that
turn out
for
real
sure.
Well.
I'd say I don't know, but a lot of exciting news today that we just I don't even that was well. Anyways.
Dynamite segue,
yeah,
Iggy.
Yeah, really.
Well, that was an exciting first half of this episode. I don't even know.
Trying to bring us down now?
So what we did. I don't know what to go on from here.
Video
I think
games,
we,
Iggy.
We, it was one of those nights where we just got so excited we finished early. Ayo. Oh, no. No?
No.
No.
Mic drop? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's right. So I guess we can spend the back half of this episode, though, like we typically do when we do finish early, go play some video games. So
ew.
Midnight releases this, whatever,
That's
Laura,
gross.
You do too.
Yeah, I do.
So, see, video games, of course, big releases this week.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, I'm gonna let you do this since this is your baby.
Well, you got 2 Assassin's Creed games, so depending on which system you have, or if you have
or
previous gen or current gen systems, or if you have both, if you have Xbox One, PC, PlayStation 4, you can play Assassin's Creed Unity. Which is Assassin's Creed. This time we're in revolutionary France. So pretty exciting.
France.
They
France.
Built
Viva la Revolution.
They apparently have built an incredible recreation of Paris. You know, where things are proportionally in relation to each other like they are in real Paris.
Can
so,
you visit the Louvre?
I don't know if it was around
not during that time.
In the 18th century.
Can't go check
but,
out the Mona Lisa.
I'm
in
not
the Louvre?
Positive.
Go up the Eiffel Tower?
Well, there are some spoilers on that. Part of it does take place in a different time period, which if you played Assassin's Creed is really not that big of a surprise. So, some exciting stuff there. Then you've got, if you have a Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, you can go get Assassin's Creed Rogue, in which a assassin has left the Order and is spending the game tracking down members of the Brotherhood.
Are you getting both?
Not tonight.
You are? You just haven't told Laura yet?
Not tonight. I got to leave something out there for Christmas.
So you're not tonight. Laura, so like ears? At 11:55, you'll be picking up one, and at 12:01, the other, is what you're saying?
No. I'm going to get Unity for sure. I do want to play Assassin's Creed Rogue. I'm interested in that idea, but I don't know where it fits with the rest of the stories.
Here's the deal. You buy Xbox One, Assassin's Creed Unity bundle, and then you turn around and you buy the one Assassin's Creed game, and you're still only buying one game there.
I'm not buying an Xbox bundle. One.
Yeah, I'm going to second that.
I'm going to try. No, I'm trying Xbox to help one. You out here.
But it's then pointless. For the Xbox One.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're excited about this, because you do have the...
I am. Tyler and I
Halo,
got really excited
Halo
about
Halo Master
earlier.
Chief Collection coming out tonight as well.
Remastered Halo 2 in it and relaunching the servers for multiplayer. Are we ready to do some Blood Gulch, Tyler? Is this going Blood Gulch style right here?
I mean, I don't know about Blood Gulch. I'm down for like some Ascension, some Holdout. Blood Gulch was never really my bag.
Really? For Capture the Flag, though. Then you got to play them.
I mean, yeah, but if Capture the Flag, I always liked... which one was the
Sidewinder?
One that we always played?
Or was that the first... Halo.
What one did we play for Capture the Flag all the time? I know. I mean, that one was a pretty good one. I liked the smaller maps a lot. So like Ascension, Holdout.
What's the two like in space? That's the spaceship that's like broken up into two pieces.
I don't remember which one that. We were talking about this the other day at work, and I was trying to remember the names. I was trying to explain them, like the round one with the thing, and then there's like the one thing over there, and it's square shaped. And couldn't figure it out. Midship was another small
midship,
one that was pretty cool.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, Midship. What was the one we always played Capture the Flag on? I can't remember. I don't know.
I really like it.
I played so much Halo 2 online.
I'm ready.
I'm tempted to buy an Xbox One just to play it, but I can't afford it right now.
I'm in line right behind Tyler.
So. I will just have to play Unity on my PS4. Because I'm excited about Unity, because I mean, not like Adam loves the Assassin's Creed game, but I also love the Assassin's Creed game, but the whole concept of four-player co-op is...
I have a pitch for you.
Yes.
You can do four-player co-op in the new Assassin's Creed?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Split-screen co-op, is that an option?
Probably not.
Have we bitched about how that has died
frequently.
On the podcast
frequently.
Before?
We'll go into that, and then we'll let Tyler talk about how every big announcement that happens in comics comes around anyways, and then it's all going to, like... Those are the things we cover like every episode.
DC's bad.
I have a pitch for you, Tyler.
We go
halvesies on the Xbox One.
Okay,
but we keep it here.
It'll be like at both of ours. We'll just keep it in my house.
Right. No,
I don't know how
I
feel about that.
Okay.
No? Well, if they had, so you know, the other side of the PlayStation 4 announcement from this past week was the launch of their new SharePlay.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
So a friend of mine has been using it, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, so for...
So I can play Assassin's Creed with you without even buying the game.
Unlimited number of one-hour time slots. For 1 hour, you can share your game with a friend.
Bob's got the PS4, too. You
which
ready to
means
do this, Bob?
That somebody can come in and play a co-op mission with you without owning the game, which is just freaking awesome. Or if you're stuck on a point in your game, and your friend knows how to get past that point, you can actually turn control of your character over to your friend, and they can play from their home.
Now, that's just cheating.
Sony's been doing some pretty cool stuff with between the SharePlay, the PlayStation TV, allowing you to play your PS4 on other televisions, even not even in the same house, just through the internet. Some of the stuff they did with the Vita, allowing you to play games on your system back at home. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely exciting.
I'm pretty stoked for that. I'm also stoked about that Halo release.
Yeah.
Tyler.
We're
going halvesies.
That's a big title. And I think it will help move some more units, which Microsoft needs. And that price drop, I think, is a...
Yeah, I agree.
It's a white flag. Just, we're done. Just come buy our system,
please. I don't think it's a white flag. I think it's a smart move. You got the bundle right before the holidays, right at the same week. You got the Halo game coming out. So for basically about $400, I can get two Assassin's Creed titles, the Halo game, yeah, and the system.
I honestly think that the Halo game is going to drive more console buys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It will.
Any of the other titles.
Well, that's
they,
why.
They've yet to have
that's
that
why you don't bundle
it.
It
sucks for them because like, their one title that's finally going to be the one that sells consoles is going to be a game that came out a decade ago.
Yeah, but it's,
right, and
it
released
you
by a company
time,
that no longer making games for you.
And but, it gives you enough time to play it until Halo
well,
5 comes
Titanfall
out.
Titanfall wasn't what they thought it was going to be, I guess. No,
I'll still pick
it
up. $20 on Amazon. Click through our link. Just saying. exciting stuff there.
Call
but,
of Duty's pretty good.
All right, so next week we have another big
next
set of
week
releases.
We
so we
get,
did, yeah, so hold on. Last week, Call of Duty. This week, the two Assassin's Creed titles.
Mm-hmm.
Halo. Next week, big titles. Tyler, I'll let you do this
announcement. Next week, we get the new Far Cry 4,
mm-hmm,
which, after Far Cry 3, has been hotly anticipated, because Far Cry 3 was huge. We also get the new, not the new, we get the, they're going to, after saying for a long time they weren't going to do it, GTA 5 will be released, remastered for the new systems.
Mm-hmm.
And the new...
Some of those graphic comparisons are out, too.
Yeah, the graphic comparisons look phenomenal.
And Dragon right. Age...
And the new Dragon
Inquisition.
Inquisition.
Mm-hmm. So we just released, we had first release on the Stephen K. Smith Initiative Production Group photos of his Dragon Age Inquisition armor.
Yeah,
pretty ridiculous.
Pretty awesome.
Gosh.
We do have, well, I guess by the time this is out too, we'll have released our exclusive shots of the portrait dude with Haley S. cosplay and another Dragon Age shoot. So pretty
yeah.
awesome,
and
too.
And that's not even to mention before either of, or in between those two releases, I mean, it's not what it once was, but it's still pretty big. And also because we're Blizzard and we don't listen to your release, we don't follow your release things. This Thursday,
I release when
so
I'm
the
all.
Day after this gets posted on 13th, yesterday, I guess, there
day before
Warlords of Draenor, the newest expansion for World of Warcraft, comes out, which is going to be
it's going to be a resurgence
big.
For that.
Oh yeah,
a lot of people coming back to the game. So
yep.
So
every
Tyler,
time,
so Tyler
instant,
will miss the next
if you,
four
if you
podcasts.
Buy the if you buy it, you get an instant level 90 character of your choice.
What?
Yep. That's how they're getting people back in. Hey, you don't even have to play through all that stuff. You don't have to go pick up your old level 75 character and play them up. Just buy
right.
the game, and we'll give you one level 90. You can start doing like the new content.
You can start
right
doing
away.
In-game stuff.
Well, you can't start doing in-game stuff right away.
Yeah, well, you got
to
build.
You got to build. You got to level
to the
up.
New content, right?
You got to level from 90 to 95. You got to do the new content, and then you have to gear up to even do like the big in-game stuff. But you get to start basically where you would have left off if you had had the last expansion. So,
oh my God, summer 2015 planned.
I was gonna say we're not gonna see Tyler for the next four
I'm not
episodes.
Do it.
You can't.
No.
Not gonna
no.
do.
Not right before the holidays.
That's
because
we're going
I do need
on
to see
that
my
Xbox
family.
One, right?
Yeah,
I
can't
just
do this right now.
I've tried to go back. I went through two really long stretches of World of Warcraft. I've tried to go back for Cataclysm and Mists of Pandaria, and it's just not the same game anymore. My addiction to it has faded.
Well, and as much as they've made it an addicting game for folks like you and me, who
yeah.
are very much into how you play and why you're doing what you're doing,
yeah.
they dumbed it way
down. Yeah, the game
down.
Has definitely been... brought to a level of it's a much more casual game than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Which was what WildStar really tried to do, and I got really into WildStar, but there was just too much delay and too many bugs and stuff, and the player base just abandoned WildStar after about a month. That's why I stopped playing. Like, all the people I played was quit playing. But WildStar was the one that went back and was like, look, it should be hard, and it's gonna be hard, and you're gonna get the shit kicked out of you playing this game. And it really was. It was the raids, the end game. I got to do like the one big raid in WildStar. It was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in like an MMO. But World of Warcraft, the theory crafting, the talent trees, I don't want to get all weird and nerdy about it, but it's definitely not the game that I
no.
played, you know,
right.
Vanilla and Burning Crusade and stuff like that.
Exciting. So out of the video games, there was a couple big releases in the movie world this past weekend. Big Hero 6 destroyed the box office.
Of course it did.
None
Stellar
of us
was right. Interstellar was right behind.
Yeah,
it.
Right
well,
behind.
I mean, yeah,
course.
I mean, that, I mean, yeah,
Interstellar
yeah.
won Friday.
I mean, destroyed the boxes. It made what Big Hero 56. Made what 58. 50,
the two of
50,
them,
they did 56.
Destroyed the box
and Interstellar did 50.
Between the two of them, they did over 100.
So. That's a big weekend.
And
yeah.
then the next
for
movie
November.
Was the third place was Gone Girl did 6.
Yeah, see that's
which came out what 2 months ago.
Yeah,
I mean that's an exaggeration, but yeah.
So nobody made it to Interstellar this weekend.
No, I'm waiting for IMAX.
I have tickets to see it on Thursday, 70mm at the Draft House. I'm excited.
All right. You guys didn't make it?
We didn't make it. No, they didn't have any showings the night we were out there. And there's the new theater over in Junction City, but we didn't check it out this weekend. had some other stuff on the docket already, and then did nothing at all on Sunday, which was awesome.
I went to the World's World's Worst Theater. But Big Hero 6 was pretty good, so I did see Big Hero 6 this weekend. It's hard because it's in town, and it's that, and then you buy the damn bucket of popcorn, so then you're like, well, I have to go get my money's worth.
It's not the World's Worst Theater. I don't know if you've done the necessary legwork to make that call. It's definitely not a good
thing. I've been to theaters all over the country, and it's the worst I've ever been in, and that includes, like, one that, you know,
if Adam's backing you up on this,
it's basically unchanged since the 1950s, where, like, the ticket office and the everything is, like, right inside it. And the technology was the same from the 1950s as well, and it was still better.
But sometimes that's still old classic stuff.
You guys didn't grow up in a small town, because to me, Carmack is like, holy shit, this is like the real deal. When I went to all these small town theaters, which I have been to a lot, they all suck balls, and you could barely get the audio most of the time.
But you see, how long ago was that? Back then?
Until now. Like, they suck. You go to small town theaters, most of them suck.
Bob goes to a small town theater frequently.
Okay, that one, I know the specific one he's talking about, and that one is one where people drive from all around to go to, because it's known for specifically caring for their theater. That one. And they do renovations, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
But you talk about, you know, go 30 miles to the Carmike west.
Carmike did like half a renovation when there was the threat the Warren Theater was coming to town. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, they're not coming in?
Oh, we don't need
We're
going to
just
these...
stop this construction halfway.
I can't even remember what the movie was now. I remember being in our local Carmike, and like half the seats were taped off because like water was leaking in, and we had to sit in the other half of the theater. Like, you couldn't even sit in the center, and it was just like, oh, sorry.
My favorite horror story from there is not even my own. It's the Adams one where he's
oh,
like,
my gosh.
The screen's not showing right. It's like a little off the screen. What theater are you in? Is it 9? Oh, yeah, that one does that. What? No, that's not the response.
Two times.
I paid for a whole ticket.
Two times.
I would like to see the whole screen, you turds.
Two times in a one-month period, I had to, and because no one else would do it, like, or at least didn't bother enough, and I had to physically get up, walk all the way down the hallway back to the front counter and be like, hey, you guys need to adjust the lens because it's off to the right, or you didn't adjust an aspect ratio from the last movie. It's showing here or something like that, where, like, the screen was legitimately not, like, it was, the projectionist was out to lunch or something. Multiple times,
we bitch about Carmike all the time.
The projectionist is still studying his junior high algebra
class. Well, there isn't a projectionist. It's all digital. There's someone up there hit a button and just left, you know.
Yeah. Well, and the reason he left is because they schedule all of their theater screens to start at the exact
like
same
10-minute window.
Minutes.
Like, everything starts from 4 to
4:10. I got 8 movies that start at 4, 4:05, and 4:10. Everything they're showing, it starts right then. Yeah. And then for 2 hours after that, there's not going to be anybody in the lobby. But for those 2 hours, or those 10 minutes, it's ridiculous.
Real projectionists would be offended to know that you would call the kid who hits the computer button at Carmike.
Back in my day when I was up there,
he's never seen a real film in his life.
So
you used to get three reels in these containers and have to put them together, cart them over to a table.
Wow, when I was your age,
and Frankfurter's, Frankfurter's cost a nickel.
I think I can actually second Adam's really big statement that Carmike is the worst theater that he's ever been to. It's the worst theater that I've ever been to, and I grew up in a very small town.
This guy agrees.
Worst I've ever been
to. Not the worst one I've been to, but it's definitely in the top three, I would say.
Right, I've been to a theater with three screens where the tickets cost $2, and it was better than Carmike.
Okay.
You guys are so spoiled. I don't know. Maybe it's because I grew up in the Wild West.
I grew up in a little town.
Where people, like, seriously.
How are we spoiled when the movie's halfway off the screen? No. You walk out to go to the restroom. The one in the theater area is out of order, so you have to walk to the lobby. You go in there, and there's three urinals. Two of them are covered in trash bags. The other one has a giant puddle underneath it.
See, and I'll forgive the worst facilities, a crappy snack bar and a bad bathroom, as long as, like, the picture is bright and it's on the screen and it's centered in the sound.
They haven't changed the light bulb in 10 years They have it so dim on their projectors.
They change the light bulbs regularly, but they turn them down so that they last, you know, more
than... Yeah, and it's turned down. There's holes in the screen. If you go, the speakers, the ones over the right side, are crackling.
Oh, those ones definitely.
Yeah.
Like, every
theater. You know what? I'll tell you what.
Every
theater. I'll tell you
what
makes good for good podcasting,
That back right theater...
is, back right speaker.
Oh yeah,
crackle
is knocking the local the movie theater.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hey, if you ever come to our town where we live, don't go to our theater.
We drive 2 hours to go to
Different. Two hours.
I'm driving.
Where's your tickets on Thursday?
I'm driving 2 hours.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not a
exactly.
Just saying.
Okay.
If anyone wants to forward this post on to the Carmike Corporation,
I've left them the bad reviews on Facebook, and that's official because it's Facebook official, right?
Yeah.
Anyways,
so I guess my question is anyone going to go see the big opening this weekend? Is Dumb and Dumber 2?
No.
Nope.
I want to see it, but I'm not going to go pay for it in theater.
No.
It's something.
So you want me to open the door and let you sneak
in? I will
Yes, Bob.
I will wait and see some actual reviews for it and see if maybe they've managed to recapture what that first one was or if it's just.
Don't lie to yourself. You're going to see it either way.
I'm just saying. If the reviews are good enough, and like I will go and see it in a theater. Just because.
Who listens to reviewers?
hopefully the people listening to this podcast.
We listen to you, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully the people listening to this podcast, because three quarters of our site is a review site now.
I'm gonna go. I don't care what anyone else says. I'm gonna go to the movie and make my own opinion. I mean, is it going to be as good as the original?
He's allowed to say that because he's Bob the movie
guy.
I'm
not going to let
Project Nerd. He's the main reviewer for a website.
Change my opinion for me, but the reviews are going to determine whether or not I'm willing to spend $12 to go see it in the theater.
Bob, hold on.
Hold
on, Bob, don't. You're pitching way too hard. You're going to run out of a job here at Project Nerd if you're telling people not to listen to reviewers.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I'm very, you know, I'm just being honest. I try to give honest reviews, but I'm also at the same time, people should go to movies because they want to go to movies.
Yeah,
going to spend $12 to go see a movie that has a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's, now, there's movies that I don't care what the review is, mm-hmm. I'm going to go see it. Dumb and Dumber 2 is not one of those movies.
Yeah.
If Dumb and Dumber 2 scores above like a 70-80% on the tomato meter or something like that, or aggregate some Metacritic, whatever, I'm going to go see it. If it's like a 27, I'll wait till it comes out on DVD or is on HBO or something.
You're still going to see it. Yeah. I'm
now,
just not going to pay the
if Christopher Nolan's
ticket.
New movie comes out, it could have a 1.5 on. I'm going to go see it in the goddamn theater. I'm just saying, I think you're trying to generalize here a little bit. I'm not saying I let reviewers make decisions for me, but if something passable comes out, like Dumb and Dumber 2, where I could take it or leave it, but it gets really great reviews, I'll see it in
a
theater.
Not only is it a $10 movie ticket, it's a 2-hour drive, because otherwise that's better off... As we just established about our local theater.
I think we beat the Carmike horse dead enough now.
No,
I'll drive to Junction City and see it.
You know? All right, guys.
Well, and there's another, I mean, I wouldn't pay that money to see a comedy in the theater either. I think I'm very specific about the types of films that I want to see in the theater. If I'm going to spend that money, it needs to be the type of film where a theater experience really adds something to the film that I can't get in my living room. Like, seeing Pacific Rim in the theater was fucking amazing. Sorry.
Ooh. We've already used our F-bomb for this episode.
Have we?
We've got four.
I've used like four, so.
I'm talking about Pacific Rim. So.
In that case.
Excuse.
But that was amazing, and it added something unique to the experience, and so it was worth every penny. But a comedy? It's the exact same in my living room as it would be in the theater, so I'm not going to pay the money.
That's a bit of a blanket statement. There's definitely comedy movies that you should have seen
in the
theater.
This couch is full of blanket statements right now, I tell you.
I will name one right now that is a comedy that if you didn't see it in the theater, you're doing yourself a disservice.
What?
Ghostbusters.
I don't see that would be any different in theater.
The goddamn Marshmallow Man. He's coming up the leg. He's on fire.
No.
There's only Zool.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
That had to have been seen in the theater.
Okay. Same in my living room.
So Iggy, I got a question. Next week, there's a couple movies coming out. I just want to know if you're interested in picking those up. On the 18th, you get... The Wind Rises and Princess Mononoke on Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yes.
Is that the first time on Blu-ray for those?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just notice that.
The Wind Rises I might be able to wait for, but I don't know if I could wait past Tuesday for Princess
Mononoke. I thought
Mononoke
had come out on Blu-ray.
No.
Really?
Huh. I'm still waiting for Spirited Away.
Oh. Right, they'll hold that one. They'll hold
that's
that one.
That's
going
to be like...
Well, are we approaching
is
an
Howl's,
anniversary?
Is Howl's?
Yeah, I own Howl's.
What about Kiki's Delivery Service? Is that on Blu-ray?
That's out. I don't think I don't own it though.
Is it out?
Kiki's
on Blu-ray?
Yeah,
it came out like last in the past.
And Totoro's definitely on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I have that one. Because I know I don't have Kiki's, and I don't have No, that, I think Kiki's Delivery Service, and then there was one
and
other.
Ponyo came out on Blu-ray because they did the whole Disney part.
But that came hand in hand when when it was out. There's two that are out that I don't own yet, and that was because they're the most recent ones, and that was Kiki and one other one, and then I guess we got these two.
Yeah, and then Spirit.
Yeah,
Away
I feel like Howl's and Spirited Away.
We still need. I mean, we still need Porco Rosco. We still got. There's still a number of them out, and then you have the brand new one, the brand new Ghibli out too. That's in theater. That's. It's premiering at New York here right now. That's I can't remember the name of the title, but it's getting a lot of buzz. It's supposedly the best Studio Ghibli they've had so far.
Wow,
I mean, that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
That's what I'm just repeating what critics said. But as
make
Bob has said, make your
own
opinion.
Make your opinion.
All right, guys.
And also over the weekend, Miyazaki got a honorary Oscar.
Oh yeah, because it's that time of year because they split those out now.
Yeah,
that's
Governor's Ball.
That's
or whatever.
They announced those forever ago, though. But yeah, finally got it. Well deserved too.
Well,
great.
He won best animated film for Spirited.
Yeah, for Spirited Away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that body of work you need. I mean,
film something. Yeah, give,
yeah, it needs
but that
be
body. Damn, damn that body. Anyways, all right. So on that note,
he's really trying to like push the entendre tonight. Like,
I know it's weird. Anyways, guys, we butchered this episode in the first 30 seconds, so it doesn't matter. We're good.
Yeah, this is,
we're
well,
closing
like,
it out,
we
though.
We got the like, full-on,
this
like,
is good
not
stuff.
Political, but kind of political, and then it's just nonsense afterwards.
Yeah, that's kind of how it went.
But like, if you hung in through the net neutrality, you got nothing.
So
here's
I'm
your reward for sticking it out.
I was trying to think of the name of the episode, and I'm like, we can't do most random episode ever because we've used that like four times.
Here we go, another
nonsense,
random
though.
Episode.
Nonsense, I think, is the best title for our episode.
Say like
not another random episode.
Not another random episode. All right, guys. So on that note, we are going to close. Stay tuned for the, of course, you know, the episodes coming up for the rest of the year. We're going to have some big announcements, including a few contests. We'll start talking about our convention tour for 2015. Some
Hooray!
Big events already in the works.
Pro Nerd
there.
Tour 15.
Yeah. 2015.
Hashtag.
Pro Nerd Tour.
Did you say Bruner Tour?
Yeah, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
You'll pay for your whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect done. All right, guys. So you know the drill. You can leave us comments on the blog, on our Podbean page, or even on our social media. Feel free to let us know if you have any questions, any feedback on what we talked about, or if you just want us to actually focus on something more specific next episode.
We're not against that advice.
We may not
like
follow
a lot of small
it.
Children.
We may not follow it, but we're not against it.
I say we may start on it, then we'll just go off on
exactly.
If you listen to our podcast, you might think we're against it, but we're not. Really.
All right, guys. So thanks for tuning in again, and
we
we'll catch you next week.
Or something like that.